All right. Okay. Is that better? All right. Operator error. That's what they tell me when I try to get my computer working. Prior to the first verse of Genesis, there was no such thing as time or anything else. And as God began his creation, as he began to make things, all of the laws that are associated with nature and the things of nature, the laws that keep the planets all circulating in their orbits and not crashing into each other, all of these were being created. They did not exist. So the creation is a fantastic accomplishment. And when we talk about the creation, of course, we are not talking about the Father doing the creating. He oversaw it. The Creator was the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have a lot of evidence to that fact. One of them is John. It's one of my favorites. In the beginning was the Word, and that's referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So when we see this word God, in the beginning God, it's either Elohim, Adonai, or El. Those are three of the names for God. Now there's a lot of compound names, and we will get into them as we come to them. But God, as we understand him, is in one God, one unit we call God. But there are three different personalities, three different manifestations of God. You and I have seen the Lord Jesus Christ in our mind's eye. And we have experienced the Holy Spirit within our soul or our heart. And we know that we belong to the Father because we pray to him often. This is not a figment of our imagination. We know. We have faith to know that God does exist. Just like when he dealt with Moses. There is, you're getting ready to use Moses to call Israel out of Egypt. And he gave his name to Moses. I am. I am. And he is. What else can you say about God? He is. So there is a plurality to this word used as God in the Bible called God. Colossians also tells us that Jesus was the Creator. Colossians 1:15 through 17 tells us, talking about Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. It's not an accident that we're all here. It's not an accident that there is air for us to breathe, that there's food for us to eat, because Jesus Christ is making sure that's available to us. Now we come to the method that God used for creating all the things that are made. There are many different beliefs about how this came about, exactly how the event took place. We're going to look very briefly at what we can know from the Word of God. There's a process people call evolution. It teaches that things started out very primitive and evolved into a higher form of life and into a higher form of life and into a higher form of life, all through a complex process called mutation. Now, I want you to understand, scientifically, mutation does not advance a species or a kind. A mutation lowers it. So if you start off with a one-celled something or other, a mutation is going to make half a cell of something or other. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. And so that is a false philosophy of how things were created or how things came about. It didn't evolve. It wasn't over a process of millions of years, as people are trying to say. The Bible doesn't teach that lower forms advance into more complex forms. As we get older, do we get smarter? Now be careful, folks. Be careful. We begin to forget things. We begin to lose vocabulary. We begin to lose abilities and muscle strength because we are in a process that began not at the creation, a process that began two chapters later with sin. So all of the things that we're going to see as we study this book of Genesis, as we see God creating, they were created in a perfect form. And there was no way to improve upon them. They were as good as they could get. So the Bible, in case someone wonders about it, the Bible right now is about 6,000 years old. It covers only 6,000 years. That's all there is of creation. It began about 6,000 years ago, 4,000 years up until the Lord Jesus Christ, 2,000 years since him. And what is the number of God? 7. So we are looking for a time of about 7,000 years upon this earth. We've already experienced almost 6. What does that tell us? Now, it tells AOC that, you know, the world's going to end in 12 years. Same way as she came under attack, you know, on the 6th, and she was actually a block and a half away. But anyway, the last 1,000 years will be the 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth, when things will be back the way they should have been. So, one of the things that the Bible does not address is the existence of God and where he came from. And inquiring minds want to know. There's no answer. God is. He always has been. And he has no beginning. He has no end. He is eternal. And we are unable to consider eternity because we can't comprehend it. So, the first verse in the Bible states that God exists. No explanation, no justification. In the beginning, God. And it makes assumptions that we are willing to accept that. And that we are willing to believe that. One of the things that we need to know that the Godhead existed before the creation, because the Bible tells us that God planned to provide a Savior even before the creation took place. Think of that. God knew, because he's omniscient. He knows everything. He knew that when man was created, that man was going to sin and that he needed to make a provision so man could have a relationship to him. And that's all right here in this first verse. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We also see that when he stepped out of eternity and began the creation, he created one other medium that we're not used to, and that is the medium of time. As he began the creation, time was also created on that very first day. Otherwise, you couldn't have had a day, because up until that time, there was not a day. There hadn't been a day. 1 Peter 1:16-21 says, "Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver or gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers," indicating that we had a sin nature we got from our father, "but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world." Before creation took place, it had been decided and planned that Jesus would have to die for your sins, for my sins. We talked about that this morning. That's love. That was love that foreordained that. Then going on in verse 20, "but was manifest in these last times for you who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." So that's where we have to start with the book of Genesis. Because he's omniscient, he understood we were going to sin. And he made the provision long before that first sin ever occurred. Genesis 1:2. "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." I don't know what you picture in your mind when we start thinking about the creation. In verse 2 it says, "The earth was without form and void." Was it a oscillating mass of some sort? We don't know. But we must interpret Scripture with Scripture. And because of that, there are some things going on here that you haven't seen yet, but they are going on. There are, again, many theories of what this verse is actually saying. There was a time when Lucifer was an angel in heaven. When Lucifer flew over the throne of God, when he was the covering angel. But Lucifer, because he was so beautiful, got proud. And Lucifer said, "I'm going to be like God," or "I'm going to be God." And for that pride, because God cannot stand sin within his area, or in his presence, Lucifer was thrown out of heaven. And when he was thrown out of heaven, one third of the angels followed him. Now they were cast to earth, to a place called hell. And some of the angels are bound there right now, awaiting judgment. Was that what made the earth without form and void? We don't know. Scripture does not tell us. But it is a possibility. And in order to consider this, there are other areas of the Bible we must look at. One of them is the 28th chapter of Ezekiel, talking about the king of Tyre. And it could also be talking about Lucifer, about what happened to him. We don't know for sure, but that could be one of the explanations as to why the second verse of Genesis 1 would put the earth in the condition that it is described in. I think that that may be stretching things a little bit. And I share my belief with you, and so that you make up your own mind. You have the privilege of the priesthood of the believer. It's up between you and God, not between you and me. And so what God causes you to believe, what your conscience makes you comfortable with, is what you can believe. So there is a reference to this in the 28th chapter of Ezekiel, and you might want to go there sometime and read that. There's another reference in Isaiah. The prophets didn't always understand what they were talking about, but they voiced the words that God gave them. And in Isaiah 45:18, we read this: "For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it, he created it not in vain, he formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else." So God's purpose in making the earth, and we're not there yet. We haven't quite got there yet. We're going to get there. God's purpose was to make a place that could be inhabited. Now it says it was without form and void. That doesn't sound like a place I want to live. Verse 2 also mentions that there was darkness upon the face of the deep, indicating that there was a body of water. A body of water. How can you have just one body of water and not have just one continent? And that's the way that men believe the earth was created. A body of water with one continent in that body of water. Where did everything come from? Well, let's think about this. If you will, turn to Genesis 10. Genesis chapter 10, verse 25. We're going to try and bring the Bible into all of this creation with Genesis. Genesis 10, 25. And it reads, "And unto Eber were born two sons. The name of the one was Peleg, for in his days the earth divided, and his brother's name was Joktan." It also says in verse 2 that we are introduced to the Holy Spirit, who was present during the creation. Remember that nothing existed before the creation other than God, a unit we call God, but it was triune in its nature and in its personalities. God in three persons. What does verse 2 again say? It says, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God." There's the Holy Spirit being introduced into the very creation. Second verse. So now we have the Creator, Jesus Christ. We have the Father overseeing it. And we have the Holy Spirit covering over everything. That's where the Trinity comes into view. At the very first part of the creation story. Now we need to, then up to this point, everything was in total darkness. Verse 3. verse 3. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, see, it's important that we remember every single thing had to be created by Jesus Christ. Where did the light come from? See, the sun and moon and stars wouldn't be created for 3 more days. Yeah. The light that is spoken of here is the same light that 3 men observed during their lifetime. Matthew 17, 1 and 2. Matthew 17, 1 and 2. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up to an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, as his raiment was white as the light. The light. God was the light. So 3 days before the Son was created, Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit became the source of light. All of this on the first day of creation. Verse 4. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. One thing that we do have to note is that while God was creating everything, he also created all the natural laws. As things were created, there were laws involving how they worked and why they worked. And as we talk about light, there are so many different kinds of light. There's black light, there's ultraviolet light, there's just many kinds. There's white light, yellow light. And, yeah, red lights and, okay, green lights. There is light, there's light that we can see. And one of the things about getting to heaven, this is what I'm sort of looking forward, folks. I like science. I like nature. I like to learn about things that God is doing and what he's creating and how we can enjoy them. But there are so many forms of light that you and I cannot see. It's beyond the spectrum of our vision. And when we get to heaven, we're going to have perfect bodies and we're going to be able to see that light. It's going to be amazing, folks. Things we can't begin to comprehend. We're going to see things we would never have seen in this old fleshly body. And so when he said, let there be light, he became the source of that light. Now, God created the laws of nature to keep everything in place and working the way that it's supposed to. And the laws were created as they were needed. And the laws of light, dividing light from darkness. Seems like a simple thing. When you go into a dark room and you turn a light on, what happens? The darkness is gone. And if something extinguishes that light, what happens? The darkness is still there. But in the first day, God divided the light from the darkness. Now, you and I, since we are saved, we are supposed to be the light of the world. The light of God, representing God within the world. And it's amazing We are supposed to be the light of the world, but are we? We sing a song, "This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine." And we need to remember that we do have a little light. It's little because we're little when we think of the whole universe. But that light is bright. That light cannot be extinguished. Light's good. And light becomes a type of Christ. He was the light. He was the light of men. Matthew 5, during the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus referred to this, and let me read Matthew 5, 14 through 16. "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Now, if any of you have ever traveled, and we all have to some extent, maybe not outside the country, maybe within the country or outside the country, if you go to a land where you cannot speak the language, how do you recognize a brother or sister in Christ? By the light. You're right. That's how we recognize them. We see the light in them of God. And as Connie and I have traveled, we've been to several different countries where we did not speak the language. But yet we could recognize and fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ, though we could not communicate verbally, we communicated with the heart and with their heart. And we could actually go and eat the food knowing that they would not give us anything that was bad. Sometimes you don't want to know what you're eating, and I have learned not to ask. and this man was not a Christian, and I knew he was not a Christian, but I've been witnessing to him, and it was when we lived in Turkey, and he took me to a wedding. He said, "You know what you've eaten?" And because he was proud of all of the different meats that had been put on the table. And he pointed at one, and I said, "Was that moo, a cow?" You know, beef. I didn't know the word, Turkish word for beef. And he said, "Yes, that was moo." And he said, "You know what that was?" And I, "Well, is that lamb or no? Not bad. That was goat." You know, and then he pointed another one. He said, "You know what that was?" And I, "That had to be lamb." You know, and bah. "No, that was arf, arf, puppy." But you see, folks, Christians have a light in them, are supposed to have a light in them wherever they go. Whether it be an airport or a grocery store or just out here on the street, there's supposed to be something different about a Christian. They are to have the light of God radiating out of them. And you might say, "Well, Brother Ken, how does that work?" Let me share with you how that works. Look at Matthew 6. Again, we're still talking about the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus explained it. And that's how we're going to try and answer this creation story in Genesis. Since we were created in the image of God, that would indicate that there were a certain source of light within us. But the problem is sin quickly extinguishes that light unless we are regenerated or saved, born again. In Matthew 6, beginning at verse 22, Jesus explained this. He says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Talking about sin. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. We have to choose. Do we serve God or do we serve mankind? And a lot of people spend their life trying to serve mankind and not God. And there's a difference. We may accomplish exactly the same thing, but we're doing it for God rather than for the sake of mankind. So without realizing it, we suddenly are exposed to another fact of salvation, which was planned before the world was created. How do we sense that a person knows Jesus? They have a light within them. Even if we can't speak their language, we somehow know that they are a brother or sister in Christ. And all of us need to get used to discerning. That's why God gives us discernment. You have met people that you knew you did not like. People that you knew were not good people. But you have met others that you have liked because there was something special about them that attracted you to them. And that was the light of God. We're supposed to all have it if we're saved. So when he said, let there be light, he was not talking about the sun. He was not talking about the moon or the stars. He was talking about the Spirit of God within us. And the Spirit of God is what provided the light. And he divided godliness from wickedness. So it says, he divided the light from the darkness. Now we come to the last verse for tonight. Genesis 1:5. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. If you're here Wednesday night, you know how the Jewish day begins at sundown. Our day begins at sunup. It's just the way we think. It's the way we've been conditioned to think. When you get up in the morning, do you thank God for a new day? Yeah, because your day starts at morning, starts at sunrise. Actually, in this time, God's day started at darkness as the sun set. And that's not the time we're thanking God for a new day. Because on this side of the cross, our days are different. Our days begin at sunlight. There's been a lot of controversy about the last word in this verse. And we'll address it, and then if you have any questions, we'll answer them if we can. The word day, what does it mean? There are those who say a day during the creation was millions of years. The evolutionists have to have that time for things to evolve from one life form to another life form. And that's not the way. You're going to see as we get into the creation, you're going to see that God did the creating on a particular day of a particular kind of organism. And that's as we get into the fourth and fifth day, the fifth and sixth days. It's not millions of years. It was a 24-hour day. And you will understand that as we get to the creation of the sun, moon, and star, and the plants. That will show us the evidence that it was a 24-hour day. But with the word day in the last word of that fifth verse is a normal 24-hour day. At that time, there was no sun. There weren't even any planets. There was no basic universe out there yet, but it was coming. And all the laws that are appropriate were created also in preparation for that. Linda has spent time thinking about Sunday school. We want to have Sunday school for kids if they come. And she's gone to the effort of coming up with a plan. And I told her this morning, I appreciate her doing that. And so we have a plan now for Sunday school. And I believe the Lord's going to send us some kids. And when he does, we'll be ready for them. We think we'll be ready for them. Depends on which kids he sends us. I'm asking him for the good ones. You know, Connie and I, when we were directing a camp down in South Texas on the Mexican border, we prayed for our workers, and we prayed for the program for the summer, and we had 10 weeks of camp, and ranged in age from 5 years old up to teens and even some adult camps. And we prayed for everything, but we forgot 1 year to pray for the kids. And we didn't have it. We had kids, but we didn't have nearly what we were expecting. Normally, we'd have 100 to 150 kids, and you know, maybe we wound up with 20 because we forgot. So, folks, we want to think about what our ministry is here, and Linda has done that. She has made plans and organized it, and so we are ready to go when the Lord sends us. Any questions on these first five verses of Genesis? Everybody satisfied? God did it all. All right. Tim, would you close in prayer for us tonight?